Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott. I'm here with Ruth Spivey. How are you, Ruth?
I'm very well, thank you.
Excellent. So we're here in a lovely Soho club, very nicely decked out, but we're here to talk about Wine Car Boot. What's Wine Car Boot, Ruth?
Wine Car Boot is an event I've been running for the last 3 years. It's a public wine tasting. It promotes independent wine shops. It's a car boot sale in a car park. We move around London, but instead of it being people coming from their house with whatever rubbish they found in their loft, it's independent wine shops. So they come with a small selection of their favourite wines, park up. We've got some music, street food. It's a market, it's an event, it's a fair, but hopefully in a relaxed environment, lots of fun. And so as far as I know, it's one of the only event that really promotes independent shops to try and get people to shop from their local wine shops or other wine shops other than just rely on the supermarket. So
car booting is a bit of an English tradition, isn't it? I don't really car boot myself, but my sister-in-law does, and they've got friends he's a like amateur antiques dealer, and he wanders car boots every weekend. So it is quite a tradition. Whenever I've seen them, they've been really big affairs though on the side of the road, aren't they? Is it that sort of thing?
Yeah, my event, the Wine Car Boot's grown a lot over the last 3 years. I mean, you get all sorts. It is a particularly British or English trait, I think, to do a car boot. I mean, you've got yard sales in America, flea markets all over the world. But I don't know of anywhere else that calls it a car boot sale. But in England, you get them often. They might be in church car parks, but you do get absolutely massive ones as well. And a lot of them, antique dealers go to, as well as it being, local people. So the first one we did for the first Wine Car Boot 3 years ago, in September 2013, was really small compared to now. At the time, it seemed massive, but we had 7 shops, 3 or 4 food traders, and about 250-300 people attend, which I was thrilled with at the time. Unfortunately, we could have had a few more. The venue was quite small. We reached capacity quite soon, and it's sort of grown steadily since then. Up to now, we've got 25-30 wine shops. All the food and some music, and then some complimentary people come as well. So we have an olive oil producer. We've got Noble Rot, who produce, as well as doing food and wine, they've got bringing their magazine and some merchandise. We've had Jancis Robinson did the last one and had a bookstall there with all her publications. So we've got a few other things as well. So it's sort of 70% wine shops and then a few added extras. And we're even serving beer this time to keep everyone happy. So.
Beer, that's Philistine. It's like the Wine Fair of London had beer 1 year, and then thankfully they've dropped it since then.
Hopefully that's the only comparison we have to the London Wine Fair. It's no secret that everyone in wine likes a cleansing ale after a lot of wine tasting. It keeps you going. You can get back on the wine quicker. So
no, it's true. Actually, after a day's tasting, that first thing I want is just a beer. Don't want wine. It's not really what you're looking for. How many events have you done?
We've done 5 in London so far. This is our 6th one in London, and we did an extra one, so 7 in total. We did one in Stellenbosch in South Africa last September, actually, so just over a year ago. Actually, I think a year ago today, in fact, September the 14th. So we were in Stellenbosch. It was a collaboration with a wine group called Piwoza, run by my friend Rollo, who's actually involved in the beautiful Quo Vadis where we're sat now. He makes wine at Journey's End Winery and heads up a group of producers out there in Stellenbosch and Swartland. So we sort of did it in association with them to promote their little group of premium producers. We did it on the farm, so that was a little bit different, because normally it's quite an urban setting where we do wine car boot, obviously car parks and so on, but we did it on the wine farm. But it all had the same thing, that all the producers out there brought amazing cars, and it was a really big, good, fun day.
Okay, so you said you've got one coming up soon. I think it's this Saturday, isn't it? So I'm going to hopefully get the show up early on Thursday, so everybody's got a chance to listen to this on Friday and then turn up on Saturday. But where is it, and when, and all the logistics about this?
So, yep, we've got one coming up. It's this Saturday, dangerously close. It's this Saturday. It's between 12 and 8 p.m., so full 8 hours. It's at the Greenwich Peninsula, which is in Greenwich, or very near to Greenwich. It's the new area that's all being developed. Some amazing stuff going on. So it's right by the O2, which has obviously been there for about 15 years now. There's a lot of development over there. There's a great new London restaurant that Stevie Parr runs called Craft. There's a couple of wine bars called Greenwich Kitchens, one called Vinatech Compass. There's a lot of new property, a lot of activity. There's a lot of cultural and environmental things going on. There's an art gallery. So it's a really new, exciting area, similar to what we've seen in King's Cross and lots of the other new areas. So we're out there. It's an amazing, huge space, and we've got sort of half concrete, half going on to this huge kitchen garden area, which belongs to the restaurant. So it's a real, got lots of different sort of terroir to work with. And I know I was worried people might get put off thinking Greenwich is a bit out on a limb, but it's super easy to get to on the Jubilee line. It's literally, you come out the tube and it's just there from North Greenwich. We've got the Emirates airline coming in with a cable car if you want to fly in, or you can get a boat across down the Thames. So there's a few ways to get there, but I say the tube is really super easy. But yeah, it's an amazing space. It's really open air. We have got cover, of course, in case it rains. I'd never run an event in the UK without cover. So, but yeah, so it's at Greenwich Peninsula, 12 to 8 this Saturday. So it's free entry. Previously we sold tickets, but we've made it free entry this time. So we give it a bit more of a market vibe. So if people just want to come along and meet some shops, buy some wine and leave, like you would do at any other kind of market, you can. If you want to get involved with the sort of event side of it and do the sampling, do tasting, drink in, buy a bottle, have some food, then you come and buy a tasting pack, and then you know you can get tasting tokens, or just to buy a glass of wine, buy a bottle and get stuck in.
What does a tasting token cost, and what do you get for it?
So tasting tokens are £1 each. You get one sample of wine. So, I mean, it's less than a glass. It's more than a sip, but less than a glass.
Is it like a standard 50ml sample? Or?
Yeah, we're quite relaxed, really. I mean, no one's really measuring too carefully. It depends. I mean, I sort of say 30 to 50ml. It's a bit similar to one of the pours you get out of an enematic machine. So, yeah, I mean, some shops, it depends. It, you know, give a sample. I'm sure if you smell nicely, they might be more generous. I'm sure people get more generous as the day goes on and more wine gets drunk. So, and then you can buy each of the shops. They've got their wines. You can give them a token to have a sample. You could buy tokens all day and sample all the wine, do lots of tasting, learn lots. Or you could just use the tokens to find your favourite wine and buy a whole glass. Again, some shops do a 125, 175, or just lob some in the glass, really. It's, you know, it's quite fun and relaxed. And then, or you can buy bottles to take home or drink in. So the idea, hopefully, that enables lots of different people to enjoy it, whether you want to sort of come along and learn and taste and, you know, sample lots of different things, or you literally just want to come find a nice bottle of wine and enjoy being outside in the sun.
Is it going to be sunny this Saturday?
Of course it's going to be sunny this Saturday. It's Wine Car Boot. It's always sunny at Wine Car Boot. Even the Christmas ones. Yeah, I have been avidly checking the weather every day for the last month. No, we have got good weather. It's not, I mean, we've had a heat wave yesterday and today, obviously, but according to the BBC, so a very reliable source, it's looking like it's not going to rain, and it'll be, I think it's around 18 to 20 degrees. Perfect wine drinking temperature. So.
Nice and pleasant. You can drink some reds on that day as well.
Exactly, yeah. And yeah, the ice won't melt for the whites. The whites will stay cool and the reds will be perfect temperature. So.
Who are the retailers that turn up?
Gosh, again, we've got 25 or 30 this time. We've been really, the best thing, we've always had a great variety of people, sort of wacky new modern independents to old school people. I'm going to try and reel some names off and obviously probably forget people who I know very well. So we've got everyone like this, regulars we've had. So Vinatech are always getting involved, Berry Brothers, Planet of the Grapes, New Zealand Wine Cellar, Corny and Barrow, Beedales, Winemakers Club. We've got a couple of online people this time as well. So we've got Red Squirrel, we've got Swig, who are great for South African selection, Red Squirrel with all their quirky varietals. But yeah, we've got 25 or 30. We've previous years, some people come in and out, they do one year and miss it the next year. So, and food-wise, we always try and have food because I didn't want to create an event that was just full of water biscuits and dried up pieces of ham that are just pretty miserable. So we've always had some great street food, and we've got, I say this time, we've got a really great selection. We've got obviously Craft, the restaurant, are on site. So they've got a smokehouse and they've got a pizza oven. We've got the Bubble Dogs, hot dog van. So Bubble Dogs make really great hot dog restaurant with Grower Champagne in Fitzrovia, and they've got kitchen table in the back, and they've now got a street food hot dog van. So they're bringing hot dogs. We've got Andre, who are London's best cheese shop in my opinion. So they're from Spitalfields, and they're doing some, they do cheese and wine. We've got cheese and wine matching. One of the restaurant director and wine buyer from Ferrer at Claridge's is coming to do the wine matching for them. We've got Noble Rot are there, so they've got the magazines, they've got the wine bar, and they've got an oyster bar because they do a lot of seafood there. So we've got, yeah, oysters, pizzas, hot dogs. St. John are coming this year, which is great. They're bringing their own label wine in box, and
not the ambulance service, St. John's.
No, that reminds me actually. Yeah, I think we've got a first aid box somewhere. No, St. John restaurant, not St. John's ambulance. And they're bringing they're making ox heart buns and their infamous donuts. So we've got all bases covered with food: pizzas, hot dogs, oysters, cheese, and donuts. So.
Do you have any problems with crowd control? You know, often when there's a lot of sampling, some people can get a bit leery and a little bit out of hand. Is that a problem ever?
So far, no, we've never really had any problems. I mean, people get certainly a bit merry, but that was kind of the point to a certain extent. Obviously, you don't want people to be dangerously out of control, but, you know, I want people to feel like they can, you know, they can actually enjoy themselves. They want people to drink. And we sort of, we don't tend to have spittoons, but we've always been outside in a car park, so there's usually a drain or two hanging around. So I say it's more of a, yeah, it is a tasting, but it's also a place to sort of enjoy wine. And, you know, I think wine's there to be drunk and enjoyed. And so that's why we've got, you know, really good food. It's not, you know, it's not neutral, bland food. It's food that you're going to enjoy eating and food you're going to drink wine with as well. So.
And you said there's about 30 retailers that will be coming along. How many wines do you think you'll have typically?
We've got, the general rule is we've got is 5 wines per shop. So say we have 20 shops, there's 100 wines. Everyone sometimes, we always encourage people to sort of subtly break the rules if they want to have something secret under the table. So there's a few, you know, there's a few exceptions, but generally they just bring 5 wines, which I set up. I'm fair, you know, reasonably strict when I set up at the start, because I didn't want guests to feel overwhelmed by things. I wanted them to move around all the shops and taste with everyone, not get stuck on one table. But also, you know, even if you're quite, you know, if you really know wine, you're used to wine tasting, you don't want to stay at one table tasting 30 different wines. It was to try and get people, I mean, I suppose as well as people having a really nice day, it's to try and change their buying habits long term and to get to know the shop, a small snapshot of what they sell. I generally advise the shops to bring really affordable wines that are sort of under £20 retail. They often bring one or two that are a bit more special, but it's meant to be sort of alternatives to going to the supermarket. So, I mean, my strap line is taste your way out of the supermarket. So, you know, it's meant to be stuff that you can come along, bottles that, you know, £7, £9, £12. And I say just a snapshot. So some people do a bit of a theme. They might bring one country. Obviously, you know, you've got people like, you know, Passioni, who always do it. They're Italian focused. They always bring Italian wine. Same as New Zealand wine cellar. But, you know, some people bring all one grape variety, or a red, a white, a rosé, a sparkling, to give a whole range. So, and we've got an extra feature this year, which I'm really excited about. We've got some English wine section as well. So that'd be quite nice. We've got hopefully the wine pantry coming with from Borough and some English wine producers. So we're going to have an English wine section to show off. Hopefully, you know, there's sort of, that's come on leaps and bounds in the last 5 or 10 years. So.
How often do you run them? You know, you said you've run them, what, 5 over the last few years. Is it, you're talking about it being annually. Is it an annual event or is it biannual? Because sometimes you seem to run more than one in a year and sometimes it seems to be one. What's the reasoning there?
I do them when I've got the time and when I've got the motivation and the energy. So it's a bit of I'm still sort of working that out. I suppose they're between once or twice a year, which I know, you know, isn't a huge guide. We often have ended up doing them in September because we plan to do them in the summer and then we end up doing them later than we planned and suddenly it's September. So it's more the ones we do in September we plan to do in May or June and just never got around to it. So it's ended up being September. But September's always turned out to be a really good time to do it. So fingers crossed, I don't want to jinx that for Saturday. But the weather's always been nice and it's people are back from holiday and gearing up to put more sort of winter nights in and Christmas and so on. So when I first set it up, I thought naively, as probably everyone does when they start an event, that it was going to be really simple to do. And within a few months, I'd have wine car boots running every month all over the city. And then you do the first one and realise it's quite a effort and all the everything involved is much more than you thought. So it then ended up being an event rather than a regular monthly occurrence. It ended up being the last 3 years, sort of doing them every now and again, making them as big and glorious as possible. My plan hopefully next year is to turn it into a more of a regular market rather than an event. So there's I've got mixed feelings about events. They're great, but they're difficult to make, to sort of break even or sort of work to make financially sustainable.
What seems to be the main hassle, if you like? Is it council? Is it environmental regulations? What's the issue? Is it getting all the retailers advertising?
I think the thing I struggle with in terms of the maybe sustainability of the event or the growth of it is probably just the cost of running an event of that sort of size. I mean, obviously, I know people run much, much bigger events. And we've always been really lucky. We've managed to get as most affordable deals as we can on venues. But venues are expensive if you want, you need them with cover. So in England, yeah, you've got to have rain cover. So if you're either having a covered venue that costs money or getting a stretch tent that costs money. So yeah, venues are always probably the highest cost. There's a limit to how much I feel morally able to or can charge the shops, because they're all relatively small independent businesses. So my pitch fees have always been low. The first two or three, I didn't charge any pitch fee, because I was trying to. I know how a lot of the small independent shops don't have a marketing budget, and I wanted to do something that I'd hopefully come up with a model that could support them and still make it financially viable for me to run without costing them anything other than a bit of wine to sample on the day and their time and staff costs. That turned out not to be possible. But my pitch fees, I've done a reasonable amount of research, and I think, much lower than a lot of other wine fairs. And I do all the PR and marketing myself, and we get quite a lot of good stuff out of that. So I don't get huge revenue from pitch fees, and then obviously just the cost of running the event. Even if you get a good deal, the sites are expensive. Event insurance is something people always forget about, and that's just a big chunk of money. Staff, cleaning, it just all adds up. And even something that I know, I'm well aware, when I look at the event, I'm always want it to be bigger and better, and it's never quite as I imagine it in my head. And I know it looks like a simple event, and people think everyone just rocks up in a car park, sells some wine, we put up some signs that we've pan painted, and then we leave. But there's a lot more that goes into it, and a lot more costs that I think unless you've run events or people just don't realise that. But I mean, I know other people who've run big wine fairs, they cost 10 times more than what I do, but maybe they've got marketing budgets and that's maybe why they charge £1,500 pitch fee. I wouldn't have anyone at my event if I charged that much for a pitch fee. So.
What do you charge?
It varies between venue and also how many times days we go on. It's varied between 150 and 350 for a pitch fee, but depending on, sometimes we've run two sessions or we've run over 2 days. So it depends on, and I try, if we get a good value site, I pass that on. If we're running over 2 days and we've had to cover some extra costs with the last one we did, we got security overnight so everyone could stay overnight, so that costs a little bit more. So there's just those things, but it's always been well under 500, which I think is quite a bit under the going rate. I might be wrong if anyone wants to correct me.
All right then, Ruth, I think we'll wrap it up there. So this Saturday, what date is it?
Yeah, Saturday the 17th. It's at Greenwich Peninsula, which if you Google Craft London Restaurant, it's right outside their site, and it's literally right by, you come out of North Greenwich Tube Station on the Jubilee Line, straight from Bond Street, and you're literally there, you'll see it, and it's right by the O2. And if you're adventurous, say you can come on the cable car or float in on the boat on the Thames.
All right then, Ruth, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. Thanks very much.